You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Go Wild. If you haven't yet, please go to timetogowild.com and find out a little bit more about the Go Wild app. Or you can just go to the Google Play Store and download the Go Wild app to your mobile device. Now, I know what you're thinking. What is Go Wild? Now, Go Wild is a social media platform similar to Facebook and Instagram that is focused, and I say focused, with the outdoors, hunting, camping, fishing. If it has to do with being outside, then you're going to find a community of like-minded individuals on the Go Wild social media platform. So it's pretty simple. Download the app today at the Google Play Store or wherever you download your apps. Or for more information, visit timetogowild.com.
Thanks for listening to the Backcountry Rookies Podcast, brought to you by Elk 101's University of Elk Hunting. The University of Elk Hunting is your one-stop shop for elk hunting education. The course is built with 17 modules, broke down into 38 chapters that cover everything from planning an elk hunt to packing an elk out of the woods, and every tip, tactic, strategy, and situation in between. You owe it to yourself to invest in the most lethal weapon in the elk woods, and that is you, the hunter. Visit elk101.com and save 20% off the price of the course by using the code Rookies and start preparing for your elk hunt. Today I'm doing a show about bear hunting with the guys from Wild Creation. And Wild Creation is a couple of guys, Dan Wildy and Nick Balla, who started a YouTube page a couple of years ago. And they've done a lot of bear hunting on that YouTube page, and they got some really funny and interesting videos. So we're going to jump into the show here in just a few minutes with Dan and Nick. But before that, I want to talk about some giveaway stuff that we've got going on. So if you don't want to hear about free stuff and giveaways, then jump ahead to about the 5 or 6 minute mark. If you do want to hear about free stuff, here you go. On my Instagram page, which is at Backcountry Rookies, I'm currently doing a giveaway that's joined up with Elk 101, and we're doing the prize package for that giveaway is a one-year membership to the Elk 101's University of Elk Hunting, so you get all access to the University of Elk Hunting, as well as there's a call package that comes with it, and that is a elk temptress call. There's a three-pack diaphragm call that's got one Elk 101 All-Star, one Contender, and one Champ call in the pack. And then there's a little case to put the calls in and a wind detector that comes with it. So you get a one-year subscription to University of Elk Hunting, a temptress call, a three-pack of diaphragm calls, call case, and a wind detector. Can't hardly beat it. It's super easy to enter. Go over to at Backcountry Rookies on Instagram. And you find the post, it's got a picture of the bugle tube and the calls and the temptress call and the University of Elk Hunting logo. It's pretty easy to find if you search my profile. And then when you get on there, all you got to do is follow me, follow at Elk 101, like the post, and tag at least three of your buddies on there. So pretty easy to enter, and it's a really, really good giveaway. So jump over there and check that out if you haven't done it already. The other giveaway that I've got going on is over on my Facebook group, which is the Backcountry Rookies Nation. And that's just a group of people that have come together. It started out really small and it's kind of growing, which I like to see because it means there's a lot more people in there sharing a lot more information. Basically, when we just did a giveaway at 500, and that was for a Go Hunt hat. And at 750, we teamed up with the guys over at Kong Valley Collective. And they're going to be given a hat, and then I'm given a Backcountry Rookies t-shirt. So when we hit 750 members in the group, we will randomly select a person to get a Kong Valley Collective hat and Backcountry Rookies t-shirt. So a pretty cool giveaway there. And then we're going to be doing those as we grow, we're going to be doing more and more giveaways, which will be at 1,000 and then probably 1,500 and, you know, on down the road. But in time, we got to grow. So Another thing that we're going to start doing is stickers. So we've got some stickers created right now, and me and the team, me and Jeremy and Jordan and Gus have been playing around with them, trying to make sure they work right, and because they're the peel away ones, you know, where it doesn't really leave anything around the sticker. But we're going to start giving those away to people that do reviews. So leave a review, and occasionally we'll go in there and pick somebody that left a good review, and we'll send them out a sticker, get a hold of you and send you a sticker. And then lastly, and this is coming up right now before we jump into the show, and this is what I'm calling, it's just going to be a little bit of nutritional information from our friend Kyle Camp, who was on a few shows ago. And Kyle is going to be kind of keeping me on track for my new year, new rookies, nutrition and fitness plan. So what I did was I had Kyle come on. He's going to be coming on the first show of every month and giving us some sort of little reminder or information, or maybe debunking a myth or even validating a myth about nutrition, different things that we can do to, you know, just to help our bodies and help ourselves prepare for September elk season. So with all of that being said, that was quite a bit, I know. I'm going to jump in right now. We're going to get the first Valley to Peak nutritional information. We're going to get that posted up here right now, and then we'll jump into the show. Thanks for allowing me to do that little bit of admin type information there. So let's get into it.
I want to address something with you, and I'm hoping that you're the guy that I need to get this question answered. I hear this a lot, and I don't know if it's myth or a fact. If I eat before I go to bed, am I going to gain weight, or is that something that's a myth?
Ah, yeah. So this is a good one, one that I hear quite a bit. So to give a little bit of history to this, it's long been believed that anytime you eat after 8 p.m., that, you know, there's some sort of internal clock that says, all right, we're going to store all of this food as fat because your metabolism slows down, quote unquote, as you go to bed. Is that myth or fact? That is myth. So what causes an actual weight gain is an overall calorie surplus during the day. It doesn't really matter what time of day you take those calories in. So if it's not like at 7:59 your body says, hey, we are just an absolute fat burning machine, and then at 8 o'clock in 1 second it says, hey, we are a fat storing machine now. We know what time it is. It just recognizes an overall calorie deficit or surplus. And so, you know, one of the things people started to notice was, okay, well, I stopped eating after 8 p.m. And so, I began to lose weight. It must mean that there's something to do with the timing. When in reality, that's the time that most people tend to snack on really high calorie, high salt, high sugar type of snacks. So they weren't just cutting out an entire meal. They were cutting out, you know, bowls of ice cream, large bags of popcorn, those type of things, creating a net calorie deficit, thus bringing the weight loss. So, you know, there, for me, even personally, my evening meal is the largest meal of the day, and that I usually eat that around 9 or 9:30 p.m.
Oh, wow. Okay. So basically that double bacon mega cheeseburger at noon could have just as much damage as a big bowl of kettle corn at 7:30, 8 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, in all things with nutrition, with weight loss, and even people that are wanting to, you know, add muscle or what have you, the foundation of the pyramid, if you were to think of it as different tiers, the foundation of the pyramid is overall net calorie deficit, surplus, maintenance, or what, it depends on what your goal is, but that is by and large what plays the biggest role in determining where you're trying to go in terms of nutrition.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, Kyle. That's a good little piece of information. On today's show, I've got Dan Wilde and Nick Balla, and I think this is going to be a fun show. It's sort of outside of the box from what we normally talk about with the elk and mule deer type stuff. Today, we're going to be talking about hunting bears with guys from Wild Creation. So they've got a lot of videos out there. They got a lot of content on YouTube that covers bear hunting and bear hunting information. So if you're curious, go check that stuff out. In the meantime, though, we'll talk to him today and we'll get a lot of information out of him. So with that, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself, and having two guests on, this might take a minute. So we'll keep it kind of brief, but just a quick intro about who you are and kind of how you got into hunting and what you do with your time. So with that, Dan, I'll let you jump in there first if you want to introduce yourself.
Yeah. So Dan Wildy, I live in Bozeman, Montana. Got into hunting back, just growing up like a lot of guys do. Back in Minnesota, where I'm from, hunting whitetails and grouse and fishing walleye, kind of that whole deal. And then moved out west right after college and never went back. Got pretty hooked on hunting elk and deer and bears, especially bears, and just fell in love with the mountains. So I live in Bozeman, and I film and edit for Randy Newberg, who produces a hunting show here. And then, try to spend some time outside and then enjoy Montana.
Nice. Never heard of that guy, Randy Newberg. I'll have to look.
Yeah, he's not a very big deal.
yeah, not at all. Cool. All right, Nick, how about let's hear a little background on you.
Yeah, so I'm Nick. I also grew up in Minnesota. So Dan and I are actually from the same hometown there. But unlike him, I did not grow up hunting. Just something my dad never really did. So I never really got into it until going to college. And then like I said, I went to college, same area as Dan. And then as I just got more friends in that kind of space, started getting more and more interested. And then, yeah, after college, moved out to Montana as well. And I currently live in Missoula here. And I'm excited. Black bear is actually the first big game animal that I ended up killing after I moved out here, and just the first big game animal that I killed ever. So that's pretty cool to kind of talk about it in that kind of lens as well. So,
and is that your favorite animal to hunt, or do you just love to hunt?
I definitely love to hunt everything. It does hold a special place in my heart, I'd say, since it was the first thing. But I mean, it is hard to beat bugling elk with your bow there. So. Bear is definitely a close second. We've referred to it as the poor man's sheep hunt in the past, because we get ourselves into some sketchy situations chasing them. So
very cool. I think that there is always, it doesn't matter what species you hunt, whatever that first one is, I think that always rings true to people, rings true to their heart, where it's always, that's where they started, and that's kind of what they like to do. So cool. Well, tell us a little, whichever one, or you guys can both jump in here too, but tell us a little bit about Wild Creation and where that whole idea came from, because you guys have a lot of content that's out there on YouTube, and it's a lot of good content. You guys have great videos and very instructional type stuff. So
I can start. So I don't remember where the first original idea came from, but I think I started kind of like a blog called Wild Creation when I moved out to Montana, just to sort of kind of like a playground to write about and have photos and take video and make, short videos of hunts. Had no idea what I was doing. And then I don't think I started the YouTube channel, but just kind of wanted to display just the wildness and just the beauty of the backcountry. And because that's, I think for Nick and I both, that's kind of a big part of why we love to hunt, is just getting out and admiring, what we would call creation, and just spending time with one another. So I just kind of started on a whim. And then when Nick moved out, I don't remember when, but we decided we should, start a YouTube channel for it. And because we hunted, always hunted together. And then I don't even remember where we first started, Nick. Maybe you can refresh my memory. But we just, started going out, probably bear hunting. Oh, no, I think it was Nick's first. Yeah, Nick. okay, so let me back up. I was getting married that June. So my cousin Will came out, and me, Nick, and Will went bear hunting for, and we called it my bear chiller party. And so that's, I think, like the first video we ever made for the Wild Creation YouTube channel was Nick getting his first bear for my, what we called bachelor party. Is that right, Nick?
I think that is. I mean, technically, even when, so we lived in Helena for a little bit too. We just, I mean, very before Wild Creation was even really like fully a thing, I would say we did a little bit of videos, and there's some even older video where we didn't even see a bear out there somewhere. So
yeah, that's right. The real
kickoff was my bear hunt for Dan's bachelor party there. So yeah, probably the starting point, so to speak.
Yeah, it was a great way to celebrate, you know, getting married, is you go on a bachelor party and your buddy shoots his first big game animal.
I like
pretty
that.
Great.
I like that idea, bachelor party. It's probably a little more sober than a typical bachelor party. So
probably
a lot of fun, I'm sure. So let's talk about bears. Let's jump into it. And the stuff that I think people really, well, at least me in particular, but, you know, listeners that want to know more about bears, there's a lot of stuff that I want to cover because there's, I know absolutely nothing about them, you know, like deer is one thing, and you can kind of relate some deer stuff to elk, and that sort of translates. But so for me, bears, this is something entirely new. So I want to just kind of talk about that. We're going to cover a lot of stuff. What type of stuff do they feed on? The difference between the spring bears and fall bear hunting and that kind of stuff. So, in your guys' mind, and Nick, I'll ask you, but what's probably the most important couple of things that we need to touch on when it comes to starting out as a bear hunter?
Yeah, I mean, definitely out west, at least, the biggest thing that we do is just sit behind glass and glass and glass and glass. So, I mean, obviously you're going to want, I have a pair of 10x42s. I'd say that's the most common focal range out here to just overall. So, I mean, we get up as high as we can just to be able to, you know, face a good south-facing slope is where they're generally hanging out on. Set up the tripod, mount the binos on them, and then just pretty much play a little bit of a waiting game there. And obviously a lot of planning goes into where you're going to hopefully find them, but that is definitely the biggest thing that we do, is just find a good knob and just start glassing.
So south facing slopes, that's opposite to what you would normally find with deer and elk and that type of other big game animal. They're normally hanging out on the north facing slopes and hanging out in them shady areas. So is the bear movement, is it that much different to where they want to be in the sun and moving around?
I mean, yeah, for the most part, at least like when we're hunting in the spring, that's where the sun is, you know, hitting the slope the most. So that's where the grass is starting to grow before, where the snow is melting and the grass starts to grow from that snow melt and all that. So that's typically what we've found where they're hanging out at that time. So
perfect. That makes total sense. It's a good little piece of information. So Dan, for you, when you guys are scouting, are you just going out there and looking around, or is there e-scouting involved? Is there stuff that you're trying to do?
Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of e-scouting, I think, is super important in this. Because like I started out, I had no idea what I was doing. I knew people like walked logging roads and try to, you know, people would say stuff like, if you are in a good spot where bears are and you sit in glass, you'll find bears. And I was like, okay, well, that's not very helpful, but it's pretty generic. So I would just kind of go out anywhere where there'd be like an opening and just glass and glass and never see anything and then when I started finally seeing them, I was able to really know what to look for. So I had a friend that lives up in northwest Montana, really generously showed me what to look for, and it really started with Google Earth, just to be able to do like the 3D dimensional stuff. So I'll kind of repeat what he taught me, and when he taught me this, it's simple, but it really changed everything for me. And so basically, like I really start with Google Earth, and I have so many waypoints that say PGS. That means possible glassing spot. It's really ridiculous. But anyways, point being, I spend a lot of time on there looking for good spots. And what I'm really looking for is somewhat of like a canyon that maybe runs east to west, of, or at least somewhat in that fashion. So like Nick said, this, and this is for the spring, more specifically, is that if you have a canyon that kind of runs east to west, you know, down in the bottom, you're getting, you have a north facing side and then a south facing side. So first thing I would do is I'm, you know, looking in a generally good area, you know, pretty much anywhere in Western Montana where we hunt probably holds bears, like they're all over the place. But then I try to find something that's south facing where there's a really good amount of timber and cover. And I think that's at least, I mean, this is all like with the caveat of in my experience, but in my experience, I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is they're looking in too obvious of areas, you know, like a big, big opening. From what I've seen, the bears definitely like to be really close to cover as a generalization. So a lot of people seem to, you know, go look for this huge meadow and just sit and glass that all day, where I've had way more luck looking in these little pockets. So where there's a lot of timber, but then there might be a little pocket with that south facing that is, you know, like an avalanche chute. Can be really good because an avalanche will clear out a lot of the brush and then allow the sun to hit that grass so it can grow up. And that'll be a really good feeding spot. Or also hunting areas that are kind of cliffy are actually really, really good, where you, if you're seeing like mountain goats and bighorn sheep, I usually say like you're probably in a pretty good area, which is kind of weird because you probably wouldn't necessarily think that. But if you can find spots that have avalanche chutes or cliffs, and by cliffs, I don't mean like sheer faces, but little rocky cliffs that are kind of sketchy to climb, which Nick and I have done too many times. But what'll happen is, you know, they'll be so steep that the sun or the snow will slide off those cliffs early. And so they'll be able to get more sunlight. So they'll start greening up pretty quick. And then they'll also a lot of times hold water on top of these little cliff faces. So a bear will have cover, you know, fresh grass and feed and water. And so they, I mean, might just stay right on in that little area. And then all you need to do is, you know, find places like that, to start looking. So I'll go on Google Earth. I'll find a spot like that looks good. Like say it's a south facing avalanche chute, with a lot of cover or cliffy areas. And then step number two for me is, you know, I flip 180 degrees and now I look at the north facing side and I'm looking for a rocky outcropping to be able to climb up and sit on to be able to glass that, you know, south facing side. And if so, I might find like a really, really good looking spot, but then I'll turn around and look at the north facing side and there's nowhere to really sit and glass. And then that kind of cancels that spot out for me. So it's got to be a spot in our, for what we do, good place to feed, you know, and then also have a rocky outcropping or opening where you can sit and actually watch it. Cause when you're in hunting really thick areas like that, like we do, you know, a lot of times it might be really good, but there's no way to glass it. So that's super important too. So if I can find those two things, I'm usually pretty confident that that's going to be a good spot. And I'll try to find, like when I say a rocky little outcropping, we're usually hiking pretty high, right, Nick? Like we'll hike in the canyon on the trail and then we'll bushwhack it up, like, you know, and gain 1,000 feet or more, where you can just see a ton of the canyon and be able to, just sit and glass for the rest of the evening.
So that glassing point is just as important as the area that you're glassing, it sounds like.
Yeah, it is. Cause yeah, I've you know, found great spots, and then I try to find a place to glass. And if you can't see it, like, there's no, you're not, it's no good if you can't, you know, watch the bear. Because if you're trying to glass it from the same side, usually, you know, like, you're just so limited in your view, where you really need a good opposing side place to, you know, sit up for the day, where you can just see a ton of country. And I, this one guy I know who guides bear hunting here in Western Montana, I've chatted with him a little bit, and he'll, I know he sits up on places, like, he'll bushwhack high where he can see, you know, miles down each side of the canyon, where he can just glass, you know, he's sitting on the north, way up on the north facing side, glassing the south facing side for miles, and he'll pick up, you know, multiple bears in just one evening. So a good glassing spot is really important, I think, for how we do it.
Nick, earlier when you were talking about the grass, and then Dan, you reinforced it also with talking about the little pockets and stuff. Is there any particular type of grass that you look for, or is it just that early growth, that fresh growth that comes early in the spring?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, pretty much whatever they can find at that time. Once, I mean, it starts warming up and they start coming out of, like, hibernation, whatever they can find at that point to start packing on the pounds again is what we've seen, at least. So
yeah, I don't know exactly, like, what types of grass it would be. I do know, like, one thing, you know, that they do like to feed on in the spring is those glacier lilies, they're called. They're little yellowy flowers that kind of grow up on avalanche chutes and stuff, and they're actually pretty tasty. Sometimes we eat them.
You got to try whatever your game is eating, right?
This guy that taught me that you could eat them, he said he'd bring, you know, ranch packets from McDonald's sometimes and just make salads back there. It's pretty funny.
Huh. I'm looking at them right now. That's a cool looking.
Yeah. I think they're called glacier lilies. Okay.
If you run across a big open field or pasture or something of those, then that's a good spot to be in, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if it has the other things that bears need, like cover and water, then it's, yeah, a good spot to check out, I think.
And if there's no bears, then make a salad, right? Have a seat and have a nice little salad.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was telling you guys a whole story and I was on mute. So it was, let me tell you, it was a fantastic story and it could never be repeated again.
I bet.
So,
oh man.
No. Cool. I apologize for that break. So, okay. So another thing that I wanted to touch on too was the hibernation times. And when you start to see the bears waking up in the springtime, is there, so this is going to be kind of a multi-part question, and if I need to break it back out, I will. Is there a time in the spring when you start to see them waking up, and is there a time that triggers that wake up? Is there anything, you know what I mean, like with the fall equinox, mm-hmm. with elk, that kind of kicks in that rut and all of that stuff. Is there something that does that works with bears the same way?
Yeah, I mean, what I've seen at least is it is really dependent on how much snow we've gotten and how quickly the snow melts at that point. So, I mean, I've seen them start going into hibernation during, like, rifle deer season. And then even this last spring, we started seeing them about early April starting. It was when we spotted our first bears.
Yeah.
2018. And yeah, I mean, it really is just dependent from what I've seen on that. How much snow there is, where they're actually hibernating at. If they are hibernating a little lower and the snow melts earlier, they might come out earlier.
Yeah,
I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, Dan, there.
Yeah, I don't. I'd love to hear, like, what somebody that actually knows what they're talking about would say, like a biologist. But from what I've been told, I think, it obviously has to do with the snowpack. Because I think when it starts melting, you know, and they're getting water in their den, like, that obviously would trigger them to get up and out. So, I mean, there's been times where I've heard of people seeing bears, like, super early, maybe even March or earlier, or seeing bear tracks, just because it was like, we've had a few years ago, we had a super mild, light winter, you know, and then, like, the next year, there's a ton of snowpack and nobody's really seeing bears to maybe, like, super late April or maybe early May. So it's definitely, I'm not a biologist, but it definitely has to do with the amount of snowpack that's triggering them to, you know, get up and start moving, or, you know, there's still 4 feet of snow, I'm going to, you know, keep snoozing for a while. Seems to be totally correlated with that, I think.
Can't.
From what we've seen.
I can't blame them for wanting to sleep in a little bit when there's 4 feet of
snow.
No,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd stay in bed for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as far as different hunting styles, do you guys spot and stalk, or do you have bait barrels out there? Do you do long range rifle hunting type of stuff? What's your preferred method? And then can you kind of talk about each one of those a little bit?
Yeah. So in Montana, the only option is to spot and stalk. So you're not allowed to bait, which I'm cool with. I think it's fun because it's a challenge to, you know, be able to spot stalk these. But in some of the surrounding states, I know you can bait in Idaho and Wyoming. We haven't hunted those areas. But when I first started getting into bear hunting was when I was back in Minnesota. And there, it's so thick, you can't spot and stalk, at least in northern Minnesota where I live. It's so thick. There's no way to really spot and stalk bears. So they resort to baiting bears. So I became friends with this guy from church who was a bear hunting guide. So he kind of took me under his wing one summer between college. And I just went out baiting with him. And I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And so what he would do, it was pretty straightforward, but he would, you know, get these different types of bait, pretty much anything he could get his hands on from, like, I think he got discounted food from like a guy that drove or delivered food for a school that was like outdated or something. So just totally random stuff. But how he would do the baiting was we'd get back quite a ways from, you know, roads and trails, and he would put bait down with really heavy logs. Like he'd bring a chainsaw, you know, and lay down some logs on top of it so that little critters couldn't, you know, get to the bait. It had to be a big bear to be able to move the logs. And, you know, he would do that. And I think in Minnesota, you could bait a couple weeks, 2 weeks or so before the season. And so he'd set, you know, two or three bait piles like that, check them every so often, and have trail cams. And then, you know, you'd see kind of what was coming in. And it was really, actually really cool. There were a lot, seems like there's a lot of people that didn't, you know, aren't super stoked about baiting for bears. But I think in a place like that, there's no really other way to hunt them. So I was all for it. I thought it was a really cool experience to be able to see some of the bears that would come in on that, on those trail cams.
And then when you're doing that, when you're hunting over those baits, is that a tree stand type of a hunt or a blind, or how does that work?
Yeah. He would do tree stands, the guy that I learned from. But I know I've seen people like, you know, like Cam Haynes is always hunting from the ground and he goes up to Canada and hunts over bait, or Joe Rogan or one of those guys. I always see pictures of them on the ground. So you can definitely do it on the ground on a blind or whatever. But I think generally what I've seen, most people are sitting in trees, tree stands.
And then yeah. Nick, do you got anything to add to that as far as spotting stock and hunting over bait or?
Not the bait. I have gone on a couple people doing a little more of the long range style hunting. And that kind of goes back to kind of the like logging road kind of idea, is really just either driving these old logging roads that you can get to or just walking them. I was with someone this last spring, shot a bear from, want to say it was like 400 or 500 yards. Basically what we did was drove to the, as far as we could to this gate, started walking in, glassed a little bit, didn't see anything, and just kind of really quickly covered a lot of country just in the truck on some of those back roads. And then eventually just being able to glass one up, get to a spot that you are comfortable shooting, and then just firing it off from there. So that definitely is, another style that I have experienced, and kind of going back to like what Dan said, just each different style kind of has their own different ways. Like the spot and stock where we kind of glass and how we mentioned that, that works for that. The more long range where you want to cover a lot of country, that's kind of what I experience on that end, where you're just hiking these or driving these logging roads, or yeah, like the bait, just kind of using the ground blind. So yeah, there's definitely, they each have their own kind of specialty and niche. So it's interesting to see just the way, different ways people do that.
Yeah, we didn't, or go ahead, sorry.
No, no, after you.
Yeah, we didn't really touch on the, a very popular way, yeah, is the logging roads out here, which we don't really do because I feel like we've done it quite a bit in the past and we've never really had much success with it. And so the idea is, you know, the Forest Service will close gates on roads permanently or seasonally. And a lot of them will grow fresh green grass in the spring. Just because it's more open, you know, the road, it's obviously a little open, so it gets sunshine where it might be super thick otherwise. So you'll walk some of these roads, gated logging roads, and they'll be just bare scat everywhere where it's just unbelievable. That's a super popular way to do it. We've just kind of opted. We've just had more success kind of doing the spot and stock, getting up high, hunting steep country. But a ton of people have a lot of success doing these logging road things. And I think from what I've read, too, part of it is they'll lay down this grass when they're building these logging roads to help from erosion on the embankment, like the side of the road. So it'll be this, I forget what type of grass it's called, but it'll just be there to help prevent erosion, but it grows up really nice in the spring and bears will just walk those roads and just, you know, have a buffet on all that food, and that grass. So a ton of people do that. And then they'll glass like clear cuts, you know, or a logging company or whoever has cut down a bunch of timber. So then you may be in a super thick forested area, but it's getting that specific spots getting a lot of sun, so it's getting a lot of growth. So that's another really popular way, is walking closed logging roads and glassing those clear cuts that kind of go along with them a lot of times.
That's cool too. That sounds like a lot of, either way, sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, or people will like bike them, you know, and really get into it and just bike the roads to be able to cover more country. But yeah, we just haven't had the most success in that style.
And do you guys bow hunt and rifle hunt, or do you prefer one over the other?
For bears, we've primarily done rifle. Just a little more, I guess, confident in that. Just kind of the style that we do. And just, I mean, for my own abilities, I'm not too confident I could get close enough to bear to get a good shot on one of them during that time. And just kind of the fact that you have to be hyper aware of just the wind. I would say probably more so than anything else, even with more so than with like elk, just because bears can smell you from a mile away and book it. So just a little easier, I would say, with a rifle.
So that was another question that I had that I wanted to touch on, and you lead me into it perfectly. So thank you. what is their best sense? And to me, it sounds like it's their nose and their sense of smell. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say for sure. I mean, people say they have bad eyesight. I don't know if that's necessarily true or not, but their nose is their main defense for sure.
And I think I heard somewhere, I don't remember where, but I think I heard somebody say that a bear can actually tell how long that, like, if you left an area, how long ago you left based on the amount of smell that they can smell. I don't remember who said that or where that was, but
I'd believe it. Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a big wind game. You guys carry your wind checkers and things like that and constantly check.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So pretty similar pretty similar to hunting elk in that sense too. So.
Right.
For sure.
So let's talk a little bit about gear, or is there anything else that you guys want to touch on as far as the hunting styles or areas that you might want to go to before we move into talking gear?
I think I've touched on everything that I could think of or that I've learned up to this point as far as that goes.
Okay. Got those covered.
Okay. I just thought of one while I was asking you, and that's elevation. Is there, what typical elevation do you normally run into them at, let's say, that early spring and then late spring and then fall?
Yeah. So we're definitely up on the higher end of whatever range we're hunting. I mean, as far as like the, say you're glassing a north facing slope, we're usually up high, but for Montana, I don't know how high it'd be, maybe seven.
I'd say it's
usually eight, somewhere in there. I don't know.
To eight range. Yeah.
Dependent on, you know, we're in Western Montana, so it'd be obviously different somewhere else, but it's been kind of similar. I haven't noticed a difference, you know, depending on the time of year so much. I guess you do as far as the snow, you know, there might still be a ton of snow way up high in the spring, but in the fall, and I don't think neither of us have taken a fall bear, but we've seen plenty where, they're just feeding on berries where we like find them thick is they're feeding on huckleberries or whatever kind of berries exist in that area. And you'll, last summer I glassed up like four in the same spot in the fall, cause there are just a ton of berries and they're just going to town on these things. But they were, those are at pretty similar heights of where I'd see them in the spring too. So I haven't noticed a ton of variation from spring to fall necessarily.
Okay. But for your elevation where you're at, they're up high is what you're saying.
Yeah. They're usually, well, I don't know. Cause I feel like we'll see, kind of all throughout the different elevations, but as far as when we're glassing, you know, the places we are looking for are usually a little higher up because then they're more maybe exposed to the sun and grow grass better. You'll see bear crap on the trail too while you're hiking in. So they're kind of all over. I think maybe I see them up higher because that's where, you know, we're glassing and that's where it starts to open up.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's where you're at, so that's where you're going to see them at, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Down in the trails, the trails are so thick, it's, you know, down in the bottom of the canyon, you're just not going to lay eyes on it probably. But they're definitely, I mean, they can be down there too. It's just not that conducive to glassing necessarily.
Yeah, got it. Okay, that makes total sense then. Is there any, do you guys use any special equipment or do you have anything that is like, I only take this when I go bear hunting, I don't take it when I'm deer or elk hunting?
Nothing that I can think of off the top of my head that's, I guess, specific to bear hunting that I don't take on any other trip.
I guess maybe we don't really bring these anymore, but we used to always bring these things called wiggy waders in the spring that are just like a lightweight kind of hip boot thing, like a backpacking hip boot, because there's in the spring there's so much water, you know, so a lot of times you're crossing pretty high creeks. So that was one thing, but usually I don't bring them now. I usually just wear Crocs, but I usually bring those in the fall, you know, or elk hunting or anything anyways now too.
Yeah, it's hard to beat a pair of Crocs. It's good camp shoe, no, good water crossing shoe.
It feels so good when you get back to camp.
Yeah,
Crocs, perfect. Crocs are a game changer.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't think there's anything else specific to bear hunting as opposed to others. But when I first started, bear hunting is where I learned the importance of a tripod for glassing, you know, because... And now that's really, I mean, that's pretty popular for a lot of types of Western hunting now. But when I first started, you know, you're freehanding and you just get so uncomfortable so quick and you're just not spending time on areas. And because when we go bear hunting, it's really boring. Like we'll sit and glass from, you know, we'll probably sleep in, drink too much coffee, and then finally go up there and we'll sit for, I mean, 10 hours in the same spot, just glassing the south facing slope. So a tripod was super important for when I first, and I mean, I still do it now, but that was a big game changer when I first figured that out.
Okay, cool. How about glass? As far as glass, what do you guys use?
Yeah, so I mean, my main pair is just a pair of 10x42 binos. I just got a pair of Vortex that I've had for the last few years now, and then I also carry a spotting scope with me, 65 power or whatever power the smaller one is, just because it's a little lighter. We're usually hiking in a couple miles, so reduce the weight a little bit. I'll have that with me, so if we do see a dark spot, which is usually just a burnt log, we'll pull out the spotting scope and take a closer look there. So those are
I use 10x42s, and then I still need to get a spotting scope. I keep telling myself I'm going to buy one, but I still haven't. So I just steal Nick's. You don't need a spotting scope, I don't think, until you start getting more picky about your bears. Because we've in the past, we haven't been super picky about, oh, that's a nice bear, that's not a nice bear, I'm going to go after that one. Like, obviously, you need to make sure it's not a sow with cubs, of course. But beyond that, we're never too picky in the past. So we haven't needed to rely on a spotting scope. But now, we're probably, now that we've kind of gotten better at the bear hunting thing, probably start being a little more choosy, just because, I don't know, it's fun to look at them and fun to hunt them.
Yeah. It's fun to just have the spotting scope with the phone scope too. Like, even outside of just hunting, I'm just watching bears just kind of in their element is just super fascinating to me. Like,
so fun.
I could just watch them even not even go after one all day, just watch them just do their thing.
Just doing what bears do, I guess, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. It's so fun to just watch them. In one of the videos from a couple of years ago, I had one so close, I just didn't even want to shoot it because I just was having so much fun watching it at such a tight distance. There's something about them that are just magical just to watch and see and just witness their behavior. They're such cool animals.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. I think I remember that video. There's one rolling around playing on the side of a mountain or something like that. And you guys are that just looks like fun or whatever. I don't remember.
Yeah, this last spring, I'd never seen this before. We saw one climb up. We watched it climb up a tree from, a mile away. And then it just was laying on this huge limb, bedded up on this branch. It was super cool to watch.
Yeah, that sounds cool, man. Hopefully my Oregon trip works out and I'm able to get out there and see it, because I think the same thing. They just do look kind of magical or majestic or something.
Yeah,
I don't know
majestic,
what it is.
Yeah.
The seeing them on video is really cool, so I can't imagine what it's like to be out there next to them and in the middle of them. So what do you guys typically, when you go out, do you do backpack trips or do you hunt from your truck or do you just leave your house in the morning and go hunt?
Yeah, usually we're backpacking in that bear trailer trip has kind of become an annual thing now. So we'll usually do that over a longer weekend. Just backpack in a few miles and set up a little base camp. And then from there, head up higher from there and do the whole glassing thing. So that's, I guess, probably the most common thing. Like I said, I've gone out even just fun afternoon hunts doing the logging road thing.
Go ahead, Dan.
I was just gonna say we do some evening hunts, but I shot my first bear when it was just an evening hunt, my wife and I, and it was rough because we were so exhausted and just wanted to be able to go to sleep, and we actually had to sleep on the side of the mountain. It was no bad story. She doesn't let me live that down, but point being is it's so much nicer to just be able to, because you like to stay to last light, because a lot of them times you'll find a bear at the last half an hour of light, so being able to just glass and then go back down to your tent is so much nicer than having to hike out 3-4+ miles, and it's staying light so late. So we definitely prefer to do the backpack in and camp for a few days at least.
I think that's what we're going to do too. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah,
it certainly beats that extra 3 or 4 miles a day just trying to get out to the truck, like you said. So, what do you guys? What's typically? And I'll ask you this because I think Dan said you're more the gear nut. What do you typically have in your pack when you go out for the day?
We've kind of touched on this a lot, but that the binos, the tripod, and then there's a handful of different like tripod binocular adapters, so you just screw it into the thread on your binos and just set them on there. That's definitely the biggest thing, because like we've just keep hammering on, we're sitting there glassing all day. It just makes it a lot more comfortable, a lot easier to be able to glass all day when you're not hand holding them. It's not super shaky, and just easier to identify stuff when it's nice and stable on that tripod there. Another thing with that is even just having a lot of different snacks, as kind of silly as that sounds, like just sitting there, just having a bunch of snacks, glassing with your buddies is just like, I don't know, something about it that's just a blast. So lots of snacks, plenty of honey stingers are probably a favorite of our camp. So if you have a chance to pick up a box of those, I highly recommend it.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of the honey stingers, and
yeah,
I'm a coffee nut too. So I know if I have to
sit,
if I'm sitting for 10 hours, my Jetboil is going to be on all the time. So yeah, very cool. Very cool. Well, awesome guys. So let's do each one of you, if you don't mind, I'd like if you could give a one piece of advice to somebody that's going out for their first time. What's that one piece of advice that you would give?
Oh, that's a tough one. One piece. Okay. Nick, or you two. Go first.
Yeah, that's a good tactic there. Pass it to the other guy. Or two or three. Whatever you guys want to put out there.
Okay. Just
something that's a good little nugget of information for any, not just me either, because I know there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that this may be their first year that they're going out. So just a couple of pieces of advice.
I got a good one. I got a good one. Okay. I actually thought of one.
Okay.
So I'll relieve you, Nick, and then
thanks.
Nick,
yeah.
Okay. This is simple, but this one is super important for the style of hunting that we do. Make sure to mark your glassing spots on your GPS or on Onyx, because I've made the mistake of, you know, when you're looking on Google Earth, you're like, oh yeah, it's right there, it's obvious. When you're down in the bottom of the canyon, you cannot, it's so thick a lot of times where we hunt, you cannot see up out of the canyon or, you know, from the bottom. So then you're trying to figure out where in the heck that glassing spot was. And then you go to the wrong one and then you can't see anything. So that's like a huge headache reliever, is make sure, you know, find, oh, okay. I'm going to put another part to that. On Google Earth, you can use, oh no, they might have got rid of that. They used to have a thing where you could, maybe you guys know what it's called, where you could like move your person so you could get the actual view from a certain spot, you know, kind of like a street view, but you could drop it on a rock, you know, and then it would show you like what you can see from that spot. You guys ever use that?
Huh. I don't know that that's still there.
I think they took it away.
Yeah.
You have to, there's an extra setting you have to click to allow that now.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. A
couple weeks ago, actually.
Yeah. So if you can figure that out, I forgot to mention that. That was huge for finding good glassing spots. So basically, you can drop your little icon on Google Earth or whatever you have to do now, and it'll show you a 3D representation of what you will be able to see from that spot. And so you're like scouting all these spots, you know, without actually obviously being there. So you're e-scouting. So that was super huge. And then, like I said, mark those spots. So when you're down in the bottom of this super thick canyon that you can't see anything, you know exactly where you're going, because it's super easy to get turned around. You know, when you're coming from a different direction, everything looks different. That's super important. And okay, I'm going to say one more, because I keep thinking of them. I'm just gonna keep going so that Nick doesn't have any. So when the style of hunting we do, you know, like you're glassing across canyon, probably the hardest part is relocating the bear. So something we've done is like take a photo on your, either on your phone or if you have a camera with, like from your glassing spot, take a photo, and then, you know, on your phone, you can draw a circle on your iPhone, like where the bear is. So then you have something to reference, like how it looks once you get over there. Cause just, man, when you get over there, everything looks so different. And, being able to have something to reference is super helpful. If you're savvy enough with your, you know, like your Onyx satellite, you can obviously do that too, but I think it helps to have a picture as well. But, or the other option is if you're with a couple buddies, this is what we did on Nick's. Well, actually we've done them on most of ours, is leave one person glassing and they'll give you hand signals to try to get your back on that bear once you cross back over, you know, across the canyon. Cause that's definitely, I mean, I don't know if you'd agree, Nick, but relocating that bear from the other side is probably the biggest challenge of the hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of going off of that point, like when we saw that bear climb the tree, we ended up going after it. And could really like identify what that tree was and be like, okay, we know that was the tree that he was climbing up. So from that point, like we kind of worked from that end on that one, at least.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a good tip. And it's a great tip actually. And it's something that I always forget to do because I'm always like, all right, I need to take a picture of that. And then I forget. So now I need
to. It can be super helpful.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Or drop a pin, you know, over where you, if you can figure out exactly where that bear is, drop a pin on your Onyx and then, you know, work your way towards that pin, whatever's, you know, works best for you, or do all of them. I don't know. Anything that's going to help you relocate that thing once you're over there is going to make your life way easier.
Right. Yeah. Right. Cool. Nick, I think Dan may have just loaded up a good tip for you, and that's that settings feature on Google Earth.
Right.
How do you do that? Are you looking at it to where you could do it?
Let me pull it up here and see. I know it's just like the little pull-down menu on the left side there. Just pull it up there. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah, because that's a huge – that was super helpful, finding spots to go.
If you want, Nick, keep digging for that. And Dan, I'll ask you while he's digging – What kind of camera gear do you guys use, and what lenses do you take, and just kind of touch on that.
Oh man, that's something we're constantly debating. We're like literally right before this phone call, we were talking about which lens Nick should get next. But okay, so let's see. I use Canon. I shoot with Canon primarily. I currently have a 6D, which is a good, pretty good stills camera, but it's really not a very good video camera. So I wouldn't recommend it for somebody wanting to do video, at least. And then good lenses there's so many options. Nick shoots with a Sony a7 III, which is a really great camera for photos and video. And then he's got a 24-70 lens, which is a pretty standard focal length. So if you can, you know, have a decent camera with maybe one or two lenses, but then still like Nick mentioned, be able to use the phone scope and record on your phone, that's a pretty good option. But if somebody was like looking to get into filming a hunt or something like that, there's a ton of great options. I would suggest maybe like a Sony A6300 is a pretty good option. That's more affordable. Or for Canon, they have a Canon 80D is a really good all around camera that has a flip screen, so you can film yourself too. Or a Canon SL2 is a really good super budget camera for video. So but then if you don't want to fork out the money for camera gear, phones are so good these days that unless you're like really into it, you can probably do most things with your phone and a spotting scope, you know?
Yeah, I did. When I was down doing my scouting trips and stuff in southern Arizona, I did everything on my cell phone, and it works.
Yeah,
it worked fine for what I was doing, but I keep kicking around the idea of just getting a nice camera to take out with a couple of good lenses and, you know, kind of a starter kit type of deal. A 20-70, and then what would be something for a little bit, or do you use anything for longer range?
Nix is a 20, it's a 24-70. For longer range, I mean, a super popular kind of standard is a 70-200, which will get you a pretty far reach. If you want to go beyond that, I mean, beyond that's probably, I mean, it'd just be easier to have a spotting scope and a phone. But we've used, I mean, I used to have like a pretty cheap, I don't know what it, some, it went out to 300 millimeters. I used that to film Nick's hunt at my bachelor party. So that's a good option too. But if I was, you know, going to just use one lens, it'd probably be like a 24-70. If I was going to use two lenses, I'd maybe get something wide, like a 16-35 millimeter lens, and then maybe a 70-200. So then you can film pretty wide or really wide and still get into 35 millimeters, but then you could swap your lens and you have, you know, 70 all the way out to 200. If I was going to, you know, if you're going to make me pick two lenses for film and bear type of stuff, it'd maybe be that combo and then use a spotting scope.
Okay, cool. Good info.
Yeah.
Good info. And I've looked at all those cameras, actually, the 6D, the 80D, the Sonys. I've looked at all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I buy more gear instead of buying camera gear. That's the problem.
No, so, yeah, I hear it. The 6D Mark II is actually a really good, that'd be a really good option for video. That one has a flip screen too, so, which is super handy for filming and filming yourself and stuff too. That'd be a good option.
How you coming on that Google Earth over there, Nick?
I found it. Like I said, it's literally just one little setting.
Okay.
So yeah, on Google Earth Pro, which is, I mean, it's Google Earth is free completely. Right. So you can just download that on your computer. There's like the layer section in the bottom left-hand corner. There's one little box that is defaulted off that just says terrain on it.
Ah.
Just click that box and then it just, shoots up the mountains from there.
Cool. So layers in the bottom left and then terrain. Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
That's awesome. Nick saved the day.
I know. I thought they got rid of it. I was so mad. I was like, why would you get rid of that feature?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good news.
Well, cool. Cool, guys. Okay. Well, I've kept you over an hour and just over an hour. So that's, we're at a good stopping point, I think. I really, really appreciate the info. It's pretty good stuff. And it, with the podcast this year, I want to expand out into other critters as opposed to just elk and mule deer. So bear is my first expansion that we're doing.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So with that, if you guys want to leave your contact information, if you want to, you don't have to, it doesn't, you know, it's up to you. And then we'll shut it down.
You like social media information?
Yep. Yeah. Just your Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, most people just use Instagram nowadays. So. Whichever.
Yeah. So my Instagram handle is at Dan K Wildy. So DanKWilde. And then our combined YouTube channel is just called Wild Creation on YouTube. If you search that, you should be able to find it.
Perfect. Thank you. Nick, how about you?
Yeah, and I guess going off that, coincidentally enough, the logo of the YouTube page and our Instagram is a bear, so fits right in there.
True.
Yeah, on Instagram it's the Wild Creation. Someone else took Wild Creation before us on that. So that's on Instagram, and then my handle on Instagram is just Nick Balla Wild, and just WILD at the end there. So yeah,
that's so nice. You took Dan's last name.
Oh yeah.
I know, just about.
Yeah. Hey, so I'll link all that stuff into the description box at the bottom, and then if people want to click and go to your YouTube channel, they can, which I highly recommend. So that's how I found the Wild Creation, was just on a deep dive of YouTube or whatever, and these guys came up, and it was just really interesting and funny and good videos. So good stuff to watch, a lot of good bear stuff. And then there's, you guys got more than just bears on there. You got all kinds of stuff. So good stuff to watch.
Yeah, thanks.
Getting on some extra bear footage, so hopefully going to be getting that edited and up within the coming month. So.
Good. I can't wait. I'll definitely be one of the downloads for it.
Perfect. So, yeah,
that'll be good. But anyway, thanks guys for coming on, and I really appreciate it. There's a lot of good info in there in the beginning. Well, through the whole thing, there's good info. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. I appreciate it too.
Yeah, thanks guys.
Well, thank you, Dan and Nick. I really appreciate you guys coming on. There's a lot of information there that I had. Obviously, I didn't know anything about hunting bears. So everything that you guys put out as far as information goes was information gained for me. Hopefully it was informational for somebody who's thinking about their first bear hunt or maybe second or third bear hunt who hasn't seen a bear yet. So anyway, thank you guys. I appreciate you coming on. The next show that we've got coming up is going to be my buddy Johnny Mack over at Washington Backcountry. So jump over there and check those guys out on Instagram. He is at Washington_backcountry. And Johnny's promoting the mentorship and hunter education and hunter recruitment. So Johnny's got a lot of stuff going on there, and he's a super positive guy. And he's just a fun guy to talk to. So you'll want to come back next week, and you'll want to check out that show. And then lastly, I just wanted to say thanks to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network for having us on the network. And Dan makes it really easy for me. I just record the shows and I send them to him, and Dan gets them all uploaded and posted to the network. So thank you, Dan, and thank you to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network. Jump over there and check them out. There's a whole bunch of great shows that you can choose from all kinds of information, from bear hunting in the eastern United States, Appalachians, to whitetail hunting, and then other big game shows out there too. So a lot of good information. With that, I really appreciate you guys listening, and that's all I got for today. So come back next week for Johnny Mack.